Coming up on All About Android, Juan Bagnell, some gadget guy, joins Ron Richards, Florence Ion, and myself. We review the Note 10 Plus. We talk about how Android 10 officially launched just today and all the phones it's going to hit. Juan talks about the LG V50. We talk a little bit about calendar spam. You may have seen that in your calendar, some invites that you didn't actually add yourself. Cam scanner malware, your email, and a whole lot more coming up next on All About Android.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And by ExpressVPN, protect your online privacy with one click. Yes, it's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to ExpressVPN.com/AllAboutAndroid. Hello, welcome to All About Android, episode 436, recorded on Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello, the three of us. How are we recovering after last week's Google amazement?
That was some recovery.
Oh, I know. Still coming down off that cloud.
It was hot.
Off the Google Cloud. If you missed it, you got to check out last week's episode. It was awesome. Got a lot of really positive feedback from it. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
I really felt like we arrived. I mean, I know we're a new burgeoning show.
Yeah,
we're just, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there. We're just getting out there. We're doing our thing. But it was nice to see, you know, other sites reporting on it. Like, we broke some news. It was very exciting to be part of that. So it was a fun night.
We're a big deal here at All About Android.
Apparently so.
You might have a big episode, but your latest episode is your biggest episode, and that's tonight.
And that's right, because you thought last week was amazing. Prepare yourself for even more amazement. Returning to the show, Juan Bagnell, SomeGadgetGuy.com.
Yeah. I am so
not just any
back.
Gadget guy, some gadget
some
guy.
Some gadget guy.
Where? Yes. Okay, so explain the story behind the name. I want to know, what's the story behind Some Gadget Guy?
It actually came from an offshoot of when I was working in recording and voiceover, and I was working at a talent agency way back in the day. This is like 2006, 2005, and
that's media, way back in the day.
Well,
2006 is way back in the day.
It is. Yeah, like 13 years ago. Oh,
look, Ron, that is Juan's the day, okay?
Right?
All right, your the day is different than Juan's, okay?
Back in the tech day. Yeah, so we weren't really allowed to have any kind of online presence. And so I was trying to help voice actors come up with home recording solutions, and I started writing out mic reviews and home recording editorials as Some Audio Guy. And then that just sort of blurred. Like, those got popular and companies started sending me recording equipment to review, and then it started becoming phones to review, and then Audio Guy didn't really make sense anymore because I was talking about, like, laptops. So then it just sort of shifted, and Some Audio Guy became Some Gadget Guy.
Nice. That makes a whole lot of sense that it would shift in that direction. And you cover a lot of bases by just going gadget. So
yeah. Exactly. Right. But I was going to say, Juan, you cover a lot of audio and video, like, to the very core when you are looking at this stuff. Like, you really dive in there. Like, you're just digging for bones.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, there's definitely an overview game that's all about the prettiest video and coming up with, you know, breaking a news topic.
Yeah.
And then there are, I think, thanks to certain popularity algorithms online, we don't always have as easy a time finding some of that more in-depth, longer-term coverage. There's definitely a community of people out there that have been supporting my channel that seem to that kind of commentary, it really resonates with them. And you know, it's maybe not quite as tentpole, popular, in-the-moment trending topic, But it's always fun to try and expand or try and find that little piece of information that you're not going to get from a embargo week, day zero launch review, totally. Review of a product that a consumer can't even buy for another couple weeks.
Absolutely. It is nice when you can find that nugget. Yeah,
feels good. It's a fun race.
Right on. Well, Juan, I'm happy to be on the show. We were just talking before the show. The last, I think, two times that you've been on have been times where I've been out. So yep. I'm happy to be here.
You led with such a good intro. I was like, I was going to make the joke. Like, I guess I didn't upset you, Jason. I guess we are still friends.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's not jump to any conclusions there, Juan.
I put on a good face.
Jason might
back.
Be here, but it's under protest.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a long hour and a half. Let's just say that.
We have a lot to cover.
That's right. We do have a lot to cover today. Victor, I hope your finger is ready to push that button because it's time to push it. It's time for the news.
We do a lot of digging here on All About Android. Just call us. The Indiana Jones of Android News.
That's what they do call us, in fact. I've heard that all over. Not
also
even just the internet.
Snakes.
Yeah, it has to be snakes.
Flo, you got the fun one. You got the fun story, Flo.
Okay, I didn't hear you for a second there. Woo, awkward pause. Hey, you know what's not awkward? Well, if you've got a Pixel phone today, you are getting Android 10.
Yay.
Pretend there's a bunch of animations on screen, because that's what I'm pretending to put here.
Confetti.
Yeah, confetti.
Yes, confetti.
Cue the confetti, Victor. Cue the party effect.
Oh, it was a slow fade. Whatever. Same thing.
That's just the Android logo.
So whether you've got a Pixel 1, a Pixel 2, or a Pixel 3, you are getting Android 10. I believe this also includes the Pixel 3A, because yes. That is also a part of the Pixel family now. So a bunch of the major yes, okay. There we go. All right. It's a patriotic act of software updates today. So some major features that you can expect with Android 10, not Q, but 10, as we discussed on last week's episode, full gestural navigation, which we've been talking a lot about the last couple of weeks. And there's something fun for you to get a hang of this week. System-wide dark theme that reaches into supporting apps so you can read your phone super late into the night and not have your eyes hurt. It's great. Smart replies and notifications make it a lot easier to get those actions through. Also, actions and notifications. So things like parsing URLs and phone numbers, tracking details, you know, those like very complicated number and letter patterns that exist in emails and text messages, as well as addresses, which will make jumping into Google Maps or whatever you use a lot easier. There's also a focus mode for reducing notifications, specifically when you want to focus, which is probably something that Ron and I are going to use around the clock because we just don't want to be bothered ever, please. Dynamic system updates for dual booting system. So basically it uses like a dual boot partition to update the system in the background. This kind of makes it a little faster, a little easier so that you're not like... It's not all jumbled together as one giant update. Project Mainline, which we've talked about at length on this show. It's also kind of known as the Google Play system updates. So this includes monthly updates to deeper layer components without the need for a full system update, which, as we've discussed, can be a real pain in the arse when you've got a lot of other stuff going on. Also, for those who are holding out for the next gen, system-level support for foldable and multi-screen devices, which this week's impending IFA seems to point to it being a trend that's coming soon. And, of course, what would Android 10 be without new privacy settings in the settings menu with controls for individual app permissions? For example, when to choose location access, If an app should use it only when you're in the app, or if an app is allowed to use it in the background. If you were on the beta for the last couple of versions, you got to use this. It's pretty slick. It just kind of works in the background. There's also an improved share menu. It loads a lot faster, and it's a little smarter when it's suggesting what you should share too. And of course, 230 new emoji glyphs to learn and love and include into your visual vernacular as you like text that. And
vernacular.
Yes, send messages to your loved ones and also people you hate, because people you hate also deserve emojis. And Easter eggs aren't completely over. There is a Picross game hiding there as the Easter egg, which I believe you get to by doing the developer settings 7 times.
Well, so, okay, you open settings, you tap about phone, you tap the Android version, and then you tap the version 10 multiple times. Now, I've got it up here. I've not done this yet, but this is what you get.
Live demo.
Yeah. So I've already done all those things. If you show my shot, I don't know if we have the overhead.
They should have made it so you had to tap it. You had to tap it 10 times. That's just a no-brainer.
Right?
Come on, thank you. Missed opportunities.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's see here. I have to find. Okay, it's a little out of sorts here. Burke might tweak it. Okay, so this is what you get after doing all those things I just said. You open settings, tap about phone, tap Android version, and then tap the version 10 that appears there multiple times. You get this.
No dessert.
Now you think that this is it, because you can move all the different things and everything. And when you do that, the little haptics kind of squiggle underneath and everything. But if I double tap the 1, apparently, and put it in a way to make a key.
Like the logo.
Oh, you're doing that trick we learned last week.
I think you have to tap the Android logo until the nonogram launches. Did I do it well enough? You're supposed to be able to. Is that?
There it is.
I don't know. It should. It's supposedly.
We're doing it live.
I know. Supposedly, I'm supposed to do this, and then it launches the Picross. Is it pronounced Picross? What is it?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, I think, yes, there we go.
Oh, there you go.
There we go. And now you, I guess you work your way through it. Those numbers are small. My arm is across the desk, by the way. The camera is not set up for my phone properly, so I'm all the way over here.
It's going to make the arena fun.
Anyway, yeah, I think we'll get it tweaked before then. But anyways, so that's neat. There you go. There's your Easter egg.
The other features.
Yes.
Let's see. Focus mode. I updated this afternoon, but I've been on the beta for so many weeks now that I just don't really notice.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, there are many differences from the beta to this.
The one thing I'm a little disappointed about, just personally, I know we talk a lot about this on the show, and again, it's because I live in car culture, but
here we go.
that new, I spent 8 hours in a car yesterday, so it's on my mind. That new version of Android Auto has not pushed through with this version just yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. You're really wanting that. That up.
Yes, I need it.
Yeah,
I literally rely on it. I don't have Android Auto in the, you know, the little display in the car. I have an old car.
Juan, have you had much time with 10 in either the beta incarnations or this official version?
So my main experience with Android 10 has been fervently keeping up with all of the OnePlus 7 Pro dev previews, which. This was just a really happy day of updates. My V50 got an update. The OnePlus 7 Pro got Dev Preview 5. My Pixel 3a, it just finished rebooting and installing, so I can finally officially use Android 10. I had to put out a video on it today. The feature I'm most excited about is one that I'm not even sure Pixels will be able to properly use, and it's the beginnings of Google's first-party Android desktop mode. And it's finally live on OnePlus 7s. So you can connect an HDMI adapter, plug it into a TV. You have to also use a mouse and keyboard, because there's no phone control, like on Dex. You can control. So you get this desktop and you can't do anything with it until you really make it a desktop. But we're finally getting a glimpse of what that's going to look like. And it unsurprisingly looks a lot like Chrome OS. So I'm hoping we'll get a polished up version when more devices start getting this.
Yeah. I just realized this isn't really breaking news, but it's breaking news to me. Play the vanilla version of the breaking news.
Here it comes.
If that's possible. Sorry to throw this on you, but yeah, we got some breaking news, sort of.
We got some breaking news. We got to do it. You say pie. I want
pie. I want pie. All right. So apparently, you may remember such episodes as last week when Dave Burke and Dan Sandler were talking about a new statue that they were definitely going to put up that could be signed.
Yeah, here it comes.
Well, apparently it is a thing. I missed this earlier, so it's only breaking to me. But earlier today, they unveiled the statue. I put the link in the doc for you, Victor, to the 9to5 Google article.
That's
and
right.
Indeed, it's the number 10 that you can sign. And there he did invite us. He invited us to sign it. So when are we going there?
Tomorrow?
I don't know. When Let's do you guys go. Want a carpool?
Well, hang on. Let's not carpool tomorrow. because Android Auto hasn't rolled out. So let's wait till that happens.
All right. All right. We'll see.
Oh, look at the little guy in the zero. That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Right.
So there we go. Sort of breaking news. You can sign
that's awesome.
You can sign the sign. Yeah. Sign the statue.
What are people, man, I hope that thing, listen, I shouldn't be saying this out loud, but I am. I hope people aren't naughty what they put on that sign.
I'm sure someone around Google is going to be monitoring the...
There better be a moderator nearby.
Yes, a full-time staffer watching people write on it for
the next
year.
Well, you don't want anybody going in and drawing one of those 90s S's, because, you know. Okay.
So was that what you were doodling at the Peach Pit while you enjoyed your milkshake and onion rings?
Yes. It was
90s. It was mandatory. It was what we all drew in high school, and I'll never know why.
For some reason.
Related to Android 10, by the way, if you have a Pixel, like Flo said, you're going to get it today, starting today. Other devices. So if you have a device, you're wondering when you're going to get it. Essential is already rolling it out. So Essential, by the way, third major update on the PH1, on the original Essential phone, which, I mean, that's pretty amazing. Like, day one.
That's great.
Like, they're right there.
Yeah.
Once again, like, they've proven that they have a commitment on their single phone that exists ever in the last 3 years. Their one phone, they are able to get updates. So that's still pretty awesome. Xiaomi updated today their Redmi K20 Pro. So that's respectable as well. It's great. Xiaomi, keep it up. You got a lot of other phones, obviously, but that one phone, yay. Samsung has nothing official, but 10.9 almost certainly. 10.9, what did I mean? I don't know what that's right. The S10 and the S9. Sorry, I'm trying to read my own notes. The S10 and the S9 almost certain to get the update. The 8 maybe, and likely based on previous update kind of history, sometime spring. So Samsung's not really very good at the quick turnaround, especially when you consider that the Note just launched and you're going to have to wait till spring to get the update.
That is so frustrating.
Super frustrating.
It's a ton of custom software. I mean, you're not getting an Android phone. You're getting a Galaxy.
Yeah, pretty lame. Huawei can update current phones even with the trade ban. So likely the P30s, the P20s, the Mate 20s.
If Huawei
can
do it, why can't Samsung?
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
With a trade ban.
Asking the appropriate questions. Motorola, nothing official there, but definitely the Moto 1s are going to get it because they're Android 1 devices. Likely the Moto G7s, the Z4s, Z3s, and E6. OnePlus, of course, OnePlus does a really good job on their updates. Nothing official yet, but very likely going to get it on the 7s, the 6s, the 5s. And they're usually pretty fast to get their update out as well. So that's a good thing. Go OnePlus. Nokia's already officially stated, and there were too many model numbers for me to list all of them. To my eye, it was like, okay, so every Nokia that's ever existed, which is probably untrue, But go to the Android Central article that I linked to in the show notes at twit.tv/AAA, and you can see which Nokias get the update. There's a lot of them. And so bravo to Nokia. That starts Q4. They've at least announced, you know, that it's going to begin in Q4. And then Sony XZ2, XZ3 is likely to get it. The BlackBerry Key 2s. The HTC U12 Plus, yes, HTC still exists. The LG V40 and the G7, the Asus ROGs, and the ZTE Axon 9 Pro. These are all phones that are likely to get them. They have not confirmed it, but based on history and release and all that kind of stuff, Android Central's
Joe Martin says. I'd be very surprised. I'd be very surprised if the Xperia 1 didn't get it, being the new Sony flagship. Like, that seems would be right in line with Sony.
And then also, they're,
the really tall, skinny, the super cinema Sony that, you know, it's a phone. It exists. I didn't make it up in a fever dream.
It does exist. Sony, it's hard for us to get talking seriously about Sony's.
Sony, call us. We're here. Let us know. We have a show. Yeah.
For whatever reason.
People are wondering.
And there's like 10
people. I got a loner for a month, and I still haven't even finished making the videos because I had to shoot way ahead because I didn't have a lot of time with it. But the Xperia 1, again, you're talking about some PR that this could be a really exciting option for folks out there if they could ever see one or touch one in real life. But the other one, I'd be surprised if LG doesn't do better than last year's phones because I know the G8. Oh, yeah. Does have an Android 10 dev preview for the Korean model. Okay. So maybe also, if there's ever a company who's slower updates than Samsung, but they sometimes get there, is LG. We should see some software from them too.
That's a great company motto, by the way. Hey, sometimes we get there.
Sometimes we get there. And sometimes a little faster than Samsung.
Because I've got an LG to talk about. You get an LG because of the hardware and what it does out of the box. Yeah. And then when you do get an update, it's just sort of icing. It's just gravy. Like, oh, that was nice of them. I love
Thank you for caring. Thank you, LG. There we go.
Well, so before we move on from the Android 10 mayhem, you know, with the last OS, you know, we all remember our Oreo year, and we didn't do much with Pi. Are we going to do anything for 10? That's my question, Flo and Jason. Philip on Twitter suggested that we do a top 10 list every week, but that's a lot of work.
That sounds
I'm okay with going back to eating if you want to do like.
If we could eat 10 of something every week.
Or things that weigh 10 ounces. 10 ounces of food.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, how many versions of desserts have there been thus far? There have been
10.
There have been 10 desserts so far?
No, I don't know. I was
okay, however many there have been every week until we run out, we eat 10 of those things. 10 jelly beans, 10 Kit Kats, 10 pies, 10 nougats or nougats, whoever
Eclairs.
You are.
10 cupcakes.
Oh. No, this is a bad idea.
Honeycombs are intense to eat. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, 10 honeycombs would be hard.
All those poor bees.
They're already like dying.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a cereal that was honeycombs?
Oh, you're right. There was honeycomb cereal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so 10 of those. Yeah. That works. We'll think about that one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Top 10 sounds really difficult.
Do you remember when we ate Oreos every week for a whole year?
I'll never forget.
We recently discussed this. It's why I still stop in the grocery store and linger at the Oreo aisle.
Yeah. I'll never forget all these Oreos.
I've got Oreo PTSD. It's amazing. It all right. Well,
Oreo hasn't called us for product placement or anything. We did all that free advertising.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, it's not a dessert, but in honor of Android 10, I'll eat a quesadilla. And
I could go for a good quesadilla from San Francisco in the mission. Anyway, Android 10 is exciting, but listen, you Huawei fans out there have got something to be excited about as well. Huawei tweeted the countdown to the new Mate 30 Pro is on, and it's going to be unveiled in Munich, Germany on September 19th. All right, so the Mate 30 and the Mate 30 Pro. Their tagline is Rethink Possibilities. which is a pretty good tagline considering Google told The Verge that the phone can't launch with Google's apps and services due to the aforementioned trade ban. There's our pesky government getting in the way of our Android stories again. So it will launch without Google's apps and services, but it's still running Android. It's not going to be running Harmony OS, the Android replacement OS. So it's going to be really interesting to see what this phone can do without that partnership in place. Juan, do you think that this makes the Mate 30 dead on arrival, or will it be some sort of new phone that people don't even realize how great it is without Google?
Well, I think that's going to be a tough sell. We've seen so many different ecosystem attempts, and one of the only companies that seems to have managed to stick it out is Amazon. You know, having a forked, out of the box, it doesn't come with Google Play or Google services on it. So this was also the news that I think it came out over the weekend, is that they did open source their Arc compiler. So they're trying to get ahead of the app apocalypse if they go with Harmony OS by making it easier for developers to compile Android apps for Harmony. This is going to be a tough play. There is sort of a growing sentiment in China, especially, of, well, you know, if Google is going to make this move, we're going to support the home team. Mm-hmm. And actually, I mean, what we've seen from the last fiscal quarter is Huawei sales have still been pretty strong, even with all of this uncertainty. You would think that people would be a bit more gun shy. But I guarantee you, as soon as this launches, unless Huawei can manage to do something pretty drastic in locking you from getting Android services, day one, we're going to see a ton of headlines on every Android site, how to get Google Play and Android apps on Huawei phone. So it's just going to be that last mile of, will that scare away consumers, especially in European markets, who aren't going to be as tech savvy? And that's what remains to be seen. A number of companies have done well by putting their own services on phones. I mean, we were just talking about Samsung. You get a Galaxy phone and you've got a number of custom services. A default music player could be something like Spotify. Your office solution might be Microsoft. You know, I don't think it's necessarily a deal breaker if Huawei can put boots on the ground and can get the phone in people's hands and get them excited about it. What comes out of the box, a lot of consumers might not fully understand the differences between a Huawei email app and using Gmail.
Yeah. And I mean, there are plenty of companies, like you say, there are plenty of businesses that exist that have nothing to do with the Google apps and services. Xiaomi would be probably the biggest representation of that, right? Xiaomi is not hurting. It's doing all right. But it also targets its devices primarily on very specific markets, namely the Chinese and the Indian markets, and some markets outside of there. But that's where you're going to find the majority of the users, I would say, with the Xiaomi phone.
Well, and to Ron's point, there's an international sentiment surrounding our current political leadership where maybe consumers in India might be inclined to take a chance on something that was made a little closer to home and doesn't have services that, you know, like we're not necessarily extending the brightest, prettiest olive branch of tech unity right now, unfortunately. So there's an opportunity. If Huawei were going to make a transition like this, and out of necessity, obviously, you know, they've got a chance. I'm not going to write them off. I think they've got potential, and they definitely have momentum. And being as large as they are, if anyone can pull this off, it's Huawei.
Yeah. We'll certainly see what they can do. Samsung has tried to do some stuff similar to, at least on the creating our own OS side of things, and that hasn't worked out the way they
even had a developers conference.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yes. They still have it.
They still have it, yeah.
Waiting for my invite to the next one. Should be here any minute now.
Hmm. Check those emails for that invite. But before you do, you've got this voicemail, Flo.
We have a voicemail, and it's from Matt Connington, and it's basically a brag. So let's hear it.
Hello, All About Android crew. This is Matt from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, Matt.
Back in April, on episode 418, I submitted a voicemail where I said I predicted Android Q would be called Android 10 and that Google would use number conventions from this point forward. Fast forward 4 months to August 22nd, lo and behold, Google officially announces Android Q is Android 10. I called it. Thanks.
That's it.
He's right.
He's allowed to. So yep. We did the same thing, call. And we patted ourselves on the back when we did it. Yep. So, yep.
Absolutely. Good work, good Matt.
I was on the other side. I was like, there's no way Google is going to do something to make Android like Windows and iOS. They're going to stick. They're going to keep the fun. They're not going to and I was totally wrong.
Are you upset? Like, do you approve?
I'm not like despondent.
I mean, I can see you wiping the tears away.
Yeah,
but again, tell me how you really feel.
I just be totally taking them off. There was something a little charming about a company, again, an Android doing something a little different, Google doing something a little different. And there was something fun about it. And I understand the reasons why they're trying to make this easier to understand. But I still think the way that the Android ecosystem actually exists, dessert names or numbers, it kind of doesn't matter. You know, a lot of consumers are still going to struggle with what is the current version of Android and do I have it? And it doesn't matter if that's called Oreo or if that's Android 11, you would have to know
I disagree there. I do think numbers will help just the normals, you know, the world, because the dessert thing was a bit hard of a paradigm to figure out. But we still will have fragmentation. And I think the point of what's the difference between the two will become the issue. But I also think that, as you know, going back to our interview last week, the internal nickname is going to leak out now faster than ever. I guarantee when they work on 11 and they dub whatever it's going to be called, we're all going to be calling it that. And then the people at the Verizon store are going to call it 11. You know, so it's just
I'll be really curious to see that, though, Ron, because we know next year Samsung's going to launch a Note with Android 10. And will consumers know that that's not the version of Android that Google's going to put out 2 weeks later?
Yeah. Fair point.
You know, I really feel like for a lot of these companies, manufacturers, developers, whatever, I think it's time we just went to years. Android 2019, you know exactly what version of Android came out. You have the Android 2019 version.
Android
95.
At some point, I think it's, if we're going to hold to this idea that for some reason we need a major yearly update for a phone operating system, the only thing that to me consistently makes the most sense is, what year did Android 10 come out? 2019. That's Android 2019. You know, what year did Android 12 come out? You know, like, I think that's the easiest way to inform consumers. They open up their settings and it says Android 2017. And you're like, oh, well, I don't have the current version of Android because, you know, it's obviously not 2017. I think that's the easiest way. If Google's argument was, we're trying to make this messaging easier for everybody to understand what's going on with their phones, at some point, numbers don't help us. You know, it's the same thing. We're still on Windows 10. Windows 10 has been around for a while. We're still on Mac OS 10.
decade and some.
Cute nicknames, different numbers and generations, everything pales to just, when did it come out? It came out this year. That's the version it is.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it'll be, maybe next year's release will be 10.1, and then the year after that it'll be 10.1.2.
No, don't will it.
The year after that it'll be 10.1.2.3.
Oh, man. We already did that with Jelly Bean. We don't need a reprise.
No, you're right. I doubt they do that, but you never know. All right, Ron.
Let's take a quick break and thank ZipRecruiter for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, if you're working in business, if you've got teams you need to hire, you learn very quickly that hiring used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resume, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates through the site within the first day. That's great. And listen, I just went through this at my day job. We had to hire somebody. I put the job posting up. I got over 400 resumes in the span of 3 days. We had to take the job posting down. It was overwhelming. And then I had to go through all those resumes. I wished I had something like ZipRecruiter that would analyze all those resumes and give me the top candidates, because time is money and I don't have time to go through all this. You need to find the right person to keep making you money in your business. And that's why ZipRecruiter changes the way you hire. It's amazing. So right now, All About Android listeners, and yes, that's you, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at our exclusive web address at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. Show your support for the show and ZipRecruiter by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Android. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thanks, ZipRecruiter.
Thank you, ZipRecruiter. Appreciate you. No, really, we appreciate you, ZipRecruiter.
We do.
We enjoy hiring good people, so thank you for that. All right, it is time for some hardware. Sometimes you end up with a phone that everybody's talking about.
Everybody.
It's time to review that phone, because every year Samsung releases their Note series about this time of year, and it's kind of pegged as the top of the heap as far as specs are concerned, as far as capabilities. I mean, they really usually Samsung throws everything in the kitchen sink into the Note series. I'll move the Pixel out of the way.
I will say, Jason, those listeners and watchers at home know that I don't have cable and I don't watch a lot of TV with commercials. But recently, in the past week, between 90210 and baseball, I've seen commercials, and there are a lot of commercials about this phone.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's basically a lot. This is Samsung Super Bowl right here.
Yeah,
I think.
Big time.
Big time. So this is the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus. There is a smaller size. For the first time, they have different sizes of the Note series. This is the larger of the two. The Note 10 Plus is $1,099.99. So you are paying a lot of money for this phone. And always, you know, as that price continues to creep up, the question is it worth the money? And we're going to kind of dive into that a little bit. So first of all, just kind of give you a quick walkthrough here. 6.8-inch dynamic AMOLED quad HD display. The Infinity O means the cutout at the very top for the camera, as you see there, which I actually prefer. If you're going to have some sort of a notch or a cutout, I like this the best. The teardrop is also very good because it's actually even less profile, like you get on some of the older OnePlus phones. Like I think the one that you had prior to the 7 Pro, Ron, had the teardrop. And that looks nice too. But if you're going to do a cutout, this is the way I prefer it. Snapdragon 855, 12 gigs of RAM. So this is stocked with RAM power. 256 gigs of storage. Has the newer, faster UFS 3.0 storage. So file access is super fast. There is also a 512 gig memory or storage version available. Micro SD card slot up top, as you can see right there, sort of. It does have the active S Pen down at the bottom. This charges while it's in the phone. You can see I pulled it out and I got my little menu there so I could do like screen write and write on the screen and send it off if I wanted to. Nifty things like that, which I can talk about in a second. 4,300 milliamp hour battery in the phone. So it has a lot of battery juice, fast charge up to 45 watts, which is faster than I've seen any phone charges at. However, the brick that's in the box supports up to 25 watts. So if you want the 45 watts, you have to find Samsung's charger that supports up to that. And that is an extra fee. I think it's like $40 if you seek that out. But that charges up your phone even faster than before. It's already pretty fast. But I think right now out of the box, you could charge this up from empty in about an hour, which is pretty awesome. 10 megapixel front facing camera, as you see up there. The triple rear camera has an ultra wide 16 megapixel, a standard 12 megapixel, and a telephoto at 12 megapixels. And then it has a time of flight sensor as well for kind of the stuff, you know, the bokeh shots and that sort of stuff. No headphone jack. This is the first Samsung phone without a headphone jack. So you do have the USB-C port in the bottom. It comes with USB-C AKG headphones. in the box, but there is no adapter. So if you have a traditional headphone like Juan does, you're not going to have, and I do too, actually.
Yep.
Yep. You're not going to have the adapter in the box. So you're going to have to spring for that on your own. IP68 rated for dust and water, which is great. And let's see here. What else? There's a 5G version coming later this year for $1,299. If you want the smaller Note 10, it's $949. And this, by the way, this is kind of the splashy feature, the splashy look. This is the one that you've probably seen in every single review because it just stands out so well. It pops so well. This is the Aura Glow version of the Note 10 Pro. Just a really nice glass back with that kind of sharp, vibrant color feature. Really stands out. So, I mean, from a design perspective, I've been using this for now 2 weeks. So this is basically my review. Beautiful. It's glass front and back, so that makes it a little delicate. And by you can go ahead and remove the word little from there. Aluminum frame on the sides. The power button has been shifted to the left side of the phone. Usually it appears on the right side, and then you get a Bixby button over on the left side. The Bixby button is now gone, but the power button kind of serves as a Bixby button. You can basically program what it does, what your phone does with a single tap versus a double tap or versus like a hold. And out of the box, I think the hold down to get the power menu isn't set. So I had to set that on my own. I think they want to believe that you will use that for Bixby instead. And I did not want to do that for reasons. Let's just say I don't really get a whole lot of value out of Bixby personally. The display is gorgeous. No doubt about it. It does lack what we've been seeing in some top of the line phones, like the OnePlus 7 Pro, the higher refresh rate. This is locked at 60 Hertz. To me, doesn't bother me that much. You know, I'm not like totally locked into it. I have a feeling though, the more phones we see with those higher refresh rates, the harder it's going to be for us to accept less, especially on a premium phone like the Note. It does have an in-display ultrasonic fingerprint sensor, which personally I find really annoying. It's just never as solid as I think it should be. And watch it work every time right now because I'm doing the demo. But in daily use, it's just not perfect. Right now, it's working just fine. But thankfully, you do have face identification here. And that actually worked really well for me. So it's a nice backup, nice fallback. Cameras, Victor, I sent a couple of shots or a photo album anyways. I would say the cameras are pretty good. Mostly, I got some really great detailed shots. If you find the picture that I took of my daughter's eye, that's like one of the ones that I'm. Oh, that's really cool too. Ah! So this is a cool like close up of a roly poly on my daughter's arm, and just seeing the detail of that, like the hair, the nice blurring in the background. You see all the detail in the bugs. Certain up close shots, I was really happy with. Yes, I was camping this weekend and we, you know, were with like five other families. So each of us took a meal and everything. And it was really cool to take pictures of the food because everybody really brought their game when it came to cooking. And this had the Note 10 has a feature that I think is on, you know, some of the other Samsungs as well. It has kind of AI integrated recognition of what you're taking, and then it changes the mode based on it. So it has like a food mode where it blurs out everything except for the center, which is really sharp, and it just makes food look really delicious. So, you know, things like that are really great. But if you go back to the shot before, walking in the forest, I took this picture because it was a stunning place that we were walking through. And then when I looked at it and really zoomed in on it, it just looked really crispy and detail was like lacking. And I was really disappointed. I thought this picture was going to look really great. And it's just kind of smeary. It's almost like all of that detail just was too confusing for the camera. So other places where it really fell flat, night mode, not nearly up to pixel quality. It's really hard to compare to, you know, the Pixel as far as night mode is concerned. There's more food shots. See, the food shots turned out really great. Like, oh, that looks so delicious. Like the trees, the apple tree, like that looks okay. I feel like there could be more detail in there, though. Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of gets a little smeary.
It almost likes in those busy shots, it's not really quite sure what you're focusing on is what you meant to focus on, and it's making exposure choices on a really wide matrix scene that aren't really what you want the camera to do.
Yeah, yeah, very well could be. Okay, so this is like a night shot, and I would say this is one of the better night shots that I got. And it's not bad. It's just when you kind of zoom in on some of the night shots on the Note 10 Plus, things just get really grainy, and the grain in there is something that I'm not as used to seeing on the Pixel night shots. The night shots on the Pixel just, man, they just work, you know, and they look solid.
They spoiled you from
they
from
totally
night shots
do.
Now.
Absolutely yeah. do. AR Doodle is kind of cool.
I was about to say, what is that fairy that you found at night?
Oh, so here's the shot of my daughter's eyes and it's kind of a close up. And if you zoom in on that, like you get detail in this one. This one I was like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. This one nice. I was like, that turned out really awesome.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's totally.
Look
I was
at
pretty
that.
Happy with that. So it can. So I think overall my review of the camera is you can get really great shots out of the camera. No doubt about it. But then there are other ways where it's just kind of like, okay, this is a demonstration of the live video effects, the bokeh in the background. And so it's software doing this with the front-facing camera. You can see it kind of sharpened, and now it's going to blur out in the back. It looks okay. If you really got in there and scrutinized everything except for the weird looks on my face, you'd see the kind of some edges, you know, that don't quite catch around the edge of my face and my head versus the background, stuff like that. But overall, pretty cool. There's also that zoom in microphone feature for when you're video recording. see?
These are great.
So I'm happy I could entertain you, Ron. Anyways, there's a whole bunch in there.
I would like a private Instagram feed where it's just you testing phones, and the videos that go along with that would be great.
I've been working on my selfie videos, apparently. anyway, so the camera is about what you've seen here. Some of the effects are really neat and worth playing around with. It's a great picture camera, but not as good as the Pixel, and I think that's where it ends there. The S Pen, of course. Oh, AR Doodles.
Aww.
Yeah, kind of neat that you can do that.
That's pretty cool. If that was an app,
so
I'd
much
bring
consternation.
It to
yeah, so yeah. I drew that on my face with the S Pen, and then it like locks it to your face and follows your rotation and all that kind of stuff. So sorry, I had a lot of fun with AR Doodles. Apparently, it actually kind of reminds me of Tilt Brush to a certain degree.
Yes, you know, it's
very Tilt Brush like. So very neat. Okay, I'm going to move on because there's a lot of. Oh, sorry, Ron. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, so cool. That's very cool.
Awesome. So the S Pen. So obviously this is the Note signature feature. I would say this is the main reason that you get the Note, right? People who love their stylus, love their S Pen, this is the phone that you get. And you just don't find very many phones that have a stylus with the power and capability of the S Pen. It's better than it's ever been. It's now an active S Pen. So if I go to, let's see here. No, go.
Wow, that menu has increased like twofold.
Yes.
Yep.
So Air Actions is one of the things that they tout, right? So if I if I hit the button one time, it takes a picture, right? If I double tap it, it switches to the rear camera. So that's sure. neat. If I do a swipe, it changes modes, or it should anyways. There we go. Change to video. Change back to photo. And then what is it? It's the circle. Does that zoom setting? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, no. It's here we go. Well, circle should be zoom. And apparently it's just switching cameras. So, oh, there we go. That was okay. Anyways, it's not perfect. Neat. It's like one of those features that like demos well. And it's nice to have it. Again, it's probably going to apply to a certain group, right? Like creators are going to like that because they're going to put their phone down and then walk away from it and want to do these things. Not everybody is going to find utility for that. But it's neat that you can, and the S Pen enables that. So the S Pen, obviously, it's always kind of a home run feature for the Note, and that's no different here. Performance is as good as you expect. because the Note is just crazy. Like, it's stocked with memory, stocked with storage, so everything flies, games, multitasking, browsing. Technically, things like 3D scanning, too, I couldn't get that to work as well, and we're going to talk about that later in the arena. But no doubt about it, this phone can do a lot of things that other phones would have a hard time doing. Dex for Mac, this is where you can plug the phone into, I plugged it into my Mac and actually ran a desktop environment on my Mac and worked in that environment, and it actually works really well. A little laggy. I'm toying with possibly using it for like a week exclusively, and then...
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, I know. Why do I do this to myself?
It's your job.
Yeah, that's right. I do it because this is what I do for a living. And finally, updates. You should know Samsung's history in updates is that they take a while to get them. So even though Android 10 just released, the Note 10 Plus that I have here is running Android Pie, the previous version. And I'm guessing it's probably not going to get updated to 10 until the springtime based on previous history, which is at this point like 4, 5, 6 months away possibly. On their most flagship phone that literally just released. So that's kind of a, you know, I mean, I guess I can't judge them too harshly on something that hasn't happened yet, but that's definitely something to consider. So that's kind of my thoughts on this. I think it's, you know, it's the next Note. And I think where we're at with phones right now is that it's really hard to stand out. The S Pen makes the Note series something that can stand out on its own as a differentiating feature from other phones. But as far as Notes are concerned, if you have the Note 9, if you have the Note 8, this is not a rush out and upgrade, don't think about it one moment, just get it sort of upgrade. It's another Note, and it's really great, just like the other Notes were really great. And I don't know, there's not a whole lot to it beyond that, personally. What do you guys think? I mean, have you had any time with this one, or what do you guys think?
Yeah, very, very limited. I mean, I've been trading phones with some of my friends out here, and like, so I've spent about 2 days with a Note and not really enough time to form like review opinions on it. Yeah. And like what you're saying, I think we've all sort of fell into something of a holding pattern from the end of 2017 to now, where a Note 8 to this Note 10 might not even be that you know, exciting upgrade for a Note user. Just we've been doing a lot of really little iterative types of updates, and there are a lot of really exciting things. And the Note is going to be a beastly powerful, one of the top performing phones of the year, but it still feels a lot like the same kind of phone experience that we've been using for a while.
Yeah. Absolutely agree. So it's not a bad phone. I'm not saying that at all. It's actually a really great phone, but there's a lot of really great phones out there. So if you want the S Pen, if you want the stylus, I'd say the Note 10 Plus is a great way to go. If you're already upgrading, heck yeah, get the Note 10 Plus. But if you're thinking, well, should I dump this, you know, relatively new phone that I just got a year ago for this? It's not that much of an improvement that you have to drop what you already have. You can wait. And you'll be fine with it.
It's really tough, too, because, I mean, Jason, how do you feel that compares when we're talking about some pretty significant price jumps, too? Like, if someone were shopping a phone and they wanted to try and future-proof with, like, with the 5G variant, how does that compare? Would you say that this is the year that you might want to try and do that, knowing that it might take a while for 5G to make it to certain markets?
Oh man, that's a really great question, because I feel like so much about 5G right now is entirely speculative. Like we don't even know how well it's really going to work on a day-to-day basis. We don't even, like, personally, I don't even know that I have a problem to solve that 5G solves. Like, I feel like my internet is pretty darn fast while I'm out there. So you're paying more, you're having a more challenging, you know, experience connecting to those 5G towers and getting that data. Sure, more is better, but I just don't know if right now it's kind of proven itself to be essential. I would not spend the extra money on a 5G version if I didn't work in this industry and have to review it, which I probably will at some point, you know, so that's great. Right. And I will enjoy that experience. But for the everyday user, I don't know if it's necessary. Not right now. Yeah, maybe a year from now.
Our, our use being very atypical from what we recommend to our family and friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I would not suggest to my parents, oh, well, 5G's right around the corner. You got to get a 5G phone. I just don't feel that way. Like, not yet. Someday that'll be the case, I'm sure. But I don't feel like now is the case.
At some point, I think it's just going to be that we don't have an option.
Yeah, right.
You know, like by the end of 2021, it'll just be, you just buy the next phone that you're going to buy. Yep. And it won't be a decision-making process. I've just been really curious because, you know, we started this early with Motorola and a Moto Mod having the potential to upgrade your phone to 5G. And I'm starting to play on some 5G towers here in Southern California. And I'm still waiting to see what is the tipping point where any of this makes sense. And it's been a very difficult conversation to have with some of my friends who are tech interested. But this buzz isn't really paying off locally in any way that they can take advantage of it.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anybody excited for five. This is another topic. I'm sorry, I don't want to get distracted. But the 5G wave is not starting off on a good foot.
No, and it's not excitement. It's like it's the I don't know what word I want to use here, but it's like the pressure of, is this something I'm going to have to pay attention to? Is this something that I'm going to want on my phone? Yeah. It's the obligation.
I think you're right.
The mandatory purchase so that they're not left behind, you know, that FOMO idea. And even then, to people who would normally, I would say, like, hey, you want to be on the bleeding edge. This is something you should be interested in. I'm not finding where I can make that push for them just yet. And it probably won't be until the end of next year that I'm thinking like, okay, now you folks who like spending a lot of money on fancy gadgets to be, you know, better than your other friends around you. maybe now you could pull the trigger on something like that.
Yeah, totally. So, so Ron, you got the next one.
Yes. Apologies. Great to hear about the Note 10, but Juan, I'm dying to hear about the LG V50. Oh,
yes.
Because as everyone knows, the LG V50 has got the dual screen case. So give me the goods. Give me the dish.
So, look at that.
Spill it.
To juxtapose how Jason started off his Note 10 review here, sometimes you're holding a phone that nobody is talking about. And I present to you the LG V50.
Ah, the headline.
Yeah. I think it's cute. It looks like a little computer.
When it's open like that, it looks like a paperback book.
It's a big phone. The V series are the bigger phones. It's not quite as big as a Note 10, but you add a case to it, and then the case has this wallet style cover. So here's the thing that's going to upset a lot of people, especially people who were never interested in buying an LG phone in the Android enthusiast community. This phone right here is the South Korean LG V50. I do have the Sprint 5G LG V50, and this case communicates over a series of pogo pins on the bottom of the phone, which United States carriers are not going to support.
Oh wow.
WTF, mate.
Sad trombone.
Sad trombone, LG. Victor.
LG has always, I mean, it would not be, this is one of my all-time favorite manufacturers. This line of phones is one of my all-time phones, but it's not an LG launch unless there is some weird regional separation on some features going to some phones and some features going to other phones. And we've been dealing with this since the G5.
Can we blame America for this too?
And probably, but not only that weird distinction, but now we're on the losing side of that weird distinction because that's cool functionality.
And now we're the ones this round that are going to get the shorter end of the stick. So the V50 is probably going to be my personal favorite phone of the year. It's a phone that's almost perfectly designed in a lab for me. I listen to high-quality audio files. I make content from my phones, like editing videos and rendering videos and managing social media. I am disgustingly excited about desktop modes and using my phone to replace my laptop. And you could not make a better phone for me than the South Korean variant of the LG V50, especially even down to the headphone jack is still, it's an audiophile grade piece of hardware on a premium device. And I don't see, I have a hard time with excuses on premium devices that we shouldn't get top class premium features like good audio. So this screen attachment functions a lot like an Axon M, if you can recall ZTE's experiment with a folding type device. But this really
looks way better.
Well, it does and it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
So the case, this functionality, let me get it fired back up here, doesn't have a one app mode because there's just too big of a seam running between the case and the second screen. So while there was a divide on the Axon M, you could make one app go full screen for the limited number of apps that the Axon M supported for that functionality. Here, you're not going to get that. And that's, I mean, it's to be expected because you can't make two screens line up seamlessly when you're on a hinge and you're trying to make them, you know, sort of pop side by side. This is really about running two apps at the same time or giving you expanded screen real estate for things like gaming, where you can turn that, you know, one of your screens into a controller interface. So you can go dual stick analog controller. You can go with a driving wheel. That kind of functionality is what this is all about. Multitasking, two apps at the same time, and then giving you a keyboard layout. Like you can turn this into your keyboard. So you have like that old HTC style slider effect. Your top screen is completely alone and your thumbs can travel on a full, you know, a full screen keyboard. And it doesn't
take so cool.
So it's supremely disappointing if you're a fan of this brand, and especially if you like something that's a little bit different than what other companies are doing. Like they're not going to play the same folding phone game as Huawei and Samsung just yet. We can be pretty confident they'll probably join next year or the year after with some type of bendy phone folding solution. But as someone who's been very skeptical of the folding phone as a solution, I really like the idea of accessories that expand Android, and this is a good idea. This is something I would really love to have North Americans playing with, but they're not really going to get the chance to, is I don't even know if there will be a V50 unlocked model coming to North America that might have this functionality on it.
I wonder what the thought process there is. Like, did Sprint or whatever partner that they're working with say, hey, listen, there's no market for this? Like, yeah, it's cool question. But leave it, you know, like or is it on the LG side to say, hey, you know, Koreans, you get this special stuff because we're a hometown brand and there you go, you know, like, yeah, I wonder what the decision making.
The inside baseball I got, and this was a hard conversation that I had with one of the international PR reps with LG when the G6 came out, because the Korean G6 got the quad DAC, the United States G6 got wireless charging, and the European G6 got neither. They are making phones for regional contracts, and I think they give too much leverage. Because we know they're not investing in as much advertising. They're not putting pop-up kiosks. You know, like there are Samsung experiences that you can go to in malls and see this stuff. And we know that Samsung probably spends more on advertising every year than all of LG's phone department in total. So I think they leverage those relationships really heavy. And if one of their partners says, hey, you know what? We just don't want to have to stock that stuff and we don't think it's going to sell, then they just don't even try. You know, I think they roll over too easily. And it's a bummer because I think if you were going to look at a phone like the V50, which I believe on Sprint is a $1,000 phone, $999, 5G. There is no 4G variant of the V50. That would be a good value add-on. You go into Sprint and then you also get like, I don't even know what the case would retail for, but a whole second screen, you could probably make a play for $100, turn it into an $1,100 dual screen 5G phone. That would be a huge value add with every customer that you had on that carrier. So I don't understand from the carrier perspective not having an accessory that would improve their retail standing. Like they would make money on that. But I guess they were crunching numbers and decided it wasn't worth the floor space or the warehouse space to stock it.
Short-sighted, my friend.
Yeah. But I've been spending the last 2 weeks with V50, and Sprint's 5G strategy is a lot different than Verizon's, and it seems like there are some good ideas at play. And but I would still fall back on the same thing that you experienced with the Note, Jason. If you had a V40, there is functionally very little that's different going from between these two phones. They're exceedingly similar experiences in all the best ways and in some of the more frustrating ways. And it as much as I like this company and I like this brand, it's hard trying to give them that push or those recommendations when sometimes it seems like the company doesn't always have faith in their own products. They're not putting out advertisements. They're not making these commercials. They'll launch the phone, show a couple ads, rely on Sprint or Verizon, and then back off after a week. And then the phone just seems to disappear from the general conversation.
Yep.
And it's a bummer.
Juan's nailed it.
Dwindles away.
I mean, but sadly, that's business. I mean, because like they've run the numbers where they only need to sell a certain amount to make it profitable. So, you know, I mean, it's a sad reality, but it somewhat makes sense. Make it available for somebody who's an enthusiast who's into it, who wants it.
Yeah, totally. And to me, that would be hopefully after we go through. The fingers crossed, and I have no data. This I have no information on, but hopefully the exclusivity on any kind of carrier partnership isn't for the life of the phone. And if that's the case, then hopefully we would see some type of unlocked model going to Amazon or B&H or some other retailer. That would be the way that you could bring this feature and this accessory to other people. But again, I have no information on that. If you were holding off on a phone purchase and you really wanted this accessory, I would likely go with it's probably not going to happen. From what we saw with the G5 and the different friends that LG had, those modular accessories.
Oh, the friends.
Yeah, that's where LG's past as a company. That's the only data point I have to draw from. Makes me feel like I would be inclined to say probably not if you were looking at dual screen. If you just wanted a top of the line premium amazing multimedia device, the V50 is a beast. It really is a monster phone where you've got cinema shot, where you've got 4K 60 frames per second 80 megabit data rate with image stabilization at 60 frames per second, triple camera layout, manual controls, focus peaking. You can shoot 240 frames per second slow motion video from the wide angle camera and control all of the features of that video, plug microphones into it and have granular control over the audio. And then when you're done and you want to relax, plug in headphones and have head and shoulders far away from the rest of the competition, the absolute best headphone audio experience that's ever been produced on maybe any portable gadget under $1,000, you know? So there's a lot to like about V50. It's just the company itself doesn't seem like they want to talk about the phone much, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. All right. So moving from one interesting differentiator to another one, modularity. Wait a minute. Was this a couple of years ago? I feel like we're back a couple of years ago. Flo, you got the next
one. Don't get me overly excited, Flo. What do you got?
Ron, get your hopes up.
All right, so you may have heard about the Fairphone. Well, guess what? The Fairphone 3 was actually announced last week. Now, the Fairphone is built with responsibly sourced and conflict-free tin and tungsten, recycled copper and plastics, and it's sourced from fair trade gold. The Fairphone is also aiming to, quote, bridge the gap between minimum and living wages in the factory, unquote. The specs inside this Fairphone are a Snapdragon 632, same as the Moto G7, so decidedly mid-range. 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage with micro SD expansion. It also has a 5.7-inch Full HD Plus display, 12-megapixel rear camera, 8-megapixel selfie camera, 3,000-milliamp battery with fast charge, a audio jack, 3.5-millimeter port, NFC for paying with just your phone. It will have Pi at launch, but Fairphone has promised up to 5 years of software support. And Fairphone includes, or rather it's made by modular construction so that it's easy to repair. Also, this also includes modular earphones that you can plug in to that audio jack. only 450 euros. Now, it's been about 2 years since the Fairphone 2, so overseas, it's probably time for an update for those who are interested in this, but it's nice to know the Fairphone is still going strong.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, in this day and age of like smartphones literally littering the earth through waste and everything, it's nice to see a company actually focused on making a phone that has some sort of ethical backbone to it, in the thought that's put into how it's repaired, how they're employing, you know, all the machinations that go into making this phone really kind of center around being ethical. Of course, the downside here for spec hounds would be that it's not the most powerful phone in the world. And,
but that's,
you know,
not why you're buying
it. That's not why you're buying it. Yeah. Although I do wonder, like five years of software support on a processor that is decidedly lower mid-range, you know, right in that category. Like, this is going to be, I mean, you could hold on to it for 5 years with software support. But yeah, man, I have a feeling you're going to be feeling it at that point. But you know, people who buy this might not actually mind. Like, that might be the trade-off that they're willing to do in order to feel like their footprint on this earth is less than with other phones. So I totally commendable. I love what Fairphone is doing.
Yeah. Cool. And I love that it's an argument. The company is sticking to that argument, and it's not about specs race. It is about this notion of longevity. And I would like to see a few more companies try, you know, like, I know the reason why a lot of companies aren't is because there's just, you know, you don't have consumers really rushing to make a decision based on this stuff. But this is one of those things, and something, you know, like I'd love to have a conversation with Ron about maybe off show is we're starting to see politicians getting very interested in some of these talking points on what leverage they can have over companies that are making products that fall apart faster, appliances, laptops, smartphones. There was a British MP talking about the tsunami of e-waste that this tiny little island country is starting to generate, and how do we start to combat that? And it's one of those things where it's kind of a chicken or the egg. How can you convince consumers to jump on this, a device that's probably a little bit more expensive and a little less aesthetically pleasing to look at, but is easier to recycle and is easier to repair? Can you get them interested in that first and then get the market to follow? Or does a government need to exert some kind of pressure when we're looking at a lot of this stuff just ending up in landfills?
Yeah.
Right. Which never goes well when that does happen. And this is the issue that a lot of industries are going through across the board. Yeah. It's you know, it's a tough topic. I saw some story about a paddleboarder went from California to Hawaii and just saw nothing but plastic the whole way through.
Oh my goodness.
You know, like, and it's when you think about the amount of waste that we're generating in this generation, I fear for my children having to deal with it, but.
Totally. And I think we would all want this, you know, this industry to fix this problem themselves. But so far, it doesn't seem like there's been much interest. In fact, I mean, in quite the opposite. We're seeing devices that are even harder to repair, that are glued shut. More manufacturers are, you know, gluing their batteries into these cases to make them almost impossible to repair, and then making those repairs, those parts to repair, even more difficult for repair shops to get their hands on. So if the market isn't going to solve this problem, the only other solution we have is terrible, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Well, on that note,
all right, let's say,
how can I protect myself on the internet, Jason?
That's right. You can protect yourself, and then we'll get into some app news. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ExpressVPN, because if you think that no one cares about your data, you are wrong, that nobody cares about your online data, or maybe you're not being snooped on. These are all things that we think don't happen to us. They happen to other people. But you listen to the shows on Twit, you know, that you understand that your privacy is under attack in a number of different ways. Hackers, governments, ISPs, they're all gobbling up your data. That's why we recommend getting the software that I trust. Actually, I use ExpressVPN to protect my online activity. Their apps use powerful encryption to secure your data. ExpressVPN runs in the background of your computer or your phone. And the beauty is you just use the internet the way you normally do, and it's just kind of running in the background, protecting you as you go along. You download the app, you click to connect. It's a single button tap, and that gets it started, and you're protected. So you don't have to go online without ExpressVPN, and you shouldn't need to. It's not like it doesn't slow things down. It's like the same experience. You're just protected. ExpressVPN is the fastest VPN that I've tried, actually. I've tried many. Costs less than $7 per month. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. ExpressVPN uses new cutting-edge server technology called Trusted Server, which actually prevents the operating system and apps from ever writing to the hard drive. So it's kind of like an extra layer of security and privacy. It's time to stop hackers, Big Brother, and internet companies from grabbing all of your data, and you can take back your online privacy with ExpressVPN. It's just super easy to do. I love it. If you're going to a coffee shop or whatever, you know, they always say, don't go into a coffee shop and use the internet there unprotected. This is the way to do it, right? You've got ExpressVPN running. You just tap the button once you're connected to that Wi-Fi, and it protects your privacy. It's really great and super easy to use. Does not slow things down. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get an extra 3 months free with a one-year package at expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. That's expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid. Do that. You'll get 3 extra months free with a 1 year package. One more time, expressvpn.com/allaboutandroid is the place to go to learn more. And we thank ExpressVPN for their support of this show. And now it's time for some apps. Sorry, I was a little too excited for the app news.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes there's none, and then sometimes there's a bunch. All right, Ron, you got the first one.
Yes, I do. So a lot of turmoil in the world of Spotify. If you were a Spotify user recently, you found out that Spotify removed their playback controls widget from their app in an update. Spotify explained that the widget duplicated functionality that Android already had elsewhere. Bonehead move. People freaked out and they hit Spotify's forums with complaints. A Spotify community manager confirmed in a forum thread that the feature is coming back thanks to this user feedback. Plans to revamp the widget as well for performance and visual refresh, but no word on timing when that will happen. So there you go. If you don't like a change a company makes to their app, let them know. Sometimes they'll give in to the pressure, or I don't know, actually listen to their users and how they want to use the app. So good on you, Spotify. Well, way to go.
Apparently the widget was a little outdated. It's kind of had some old art. You know, they hadn't updated it in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny because in this week's Arena, I was looking at a Android Spotify widget replacement due to this because I wanted to and then I saw this news and I was like, oh, forget it. So, yeah.
Damn, I know you so well, Ron. I saw the story and I was like, this is a Ron story.
Yep.
So that's good.
Good on them for actually fixing, you know. So again, just because the widget was a little old doesn't mean you scrap it, you know. Like, if you want people to use these things, and we still believe in this notion of Android customization, you give your consumers a better widget. You don't just cut it.
Kill it, yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Yep. Go Spotify. All right, Flo, you got the next one.
Well, some things you have to kill, or at least you have to put away for a while until they're fixed. So a couple episodes ago, I brought to the Arena a app called Cam Scanner. Now, this app was featured in episode 427. Unfortunately, during that time, it appears Kapersky researchers found out that it found itself in the crosshairs. Some malware, unbeknownst to us. Innocent citizens of the world and app users, of course. So Kapersky had found that the app contained the Trojan Dropper malware. That's code that's pre-installed on some Chinese phones. Now, the malware downloads additional modules to basically display intrusive ads, signs up users for paid subscriptions without their knowledge or permission. Oof. It is very mal, as you would say. So Google has removed the app from the Play Store, give them a chance to go in and, you know, add some walls and fix some things in there. Now, the developer attributes this malware to the AdHub ad network. Current versions are safe, but the unsafe versions that existed were between June 17th and July 25th of the summer. And my review of the app was July 2nd, which was right in the middle of that period. Now, I had no idea, of course, that this was happening in the background. And thankfully, I was not affected by it, or at least I don't think I was. I don't think I was by now. But it just goes to show you that it's a really important parable of what we're still dealing with in the Google Play Store. And the fact that, like, this app passed through the Google Play's, you know, hey, this is an okay app. It was an app that you could pay for to get additional functionality and sort of be able to really leverage its features. And it was an app that was very well rated, and still there's malware existing, and it was because of the ad network. So I'm thinking now we have to really batten down the hatches is the right way to say that.
Or you could button them up, sure.
Or you could button them up. You know, just close that flap on your overalls and keep the ad networks from being infiltrated. It's a bummer. And
it's interesting because this comes off the news recently of a more rigorous review process happening, you know, much like Apple, where they're going to be, you know, putting in with Google, where it's going to be, you know, actually be reviewed and, you know, possibly people looking at it, stuff like that. But the issue sometimes isn't in the app. It's the malware that could be inserted via these ad networks. And so I'll be curious to see what the response is and how they police ad networks that are injecting stuff into apps, if at all. I mean, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's going to be a cat and mouse game because you only have to get around Google. You have a singular point of, you know, we know that they're going to continue trying to find ways to circumvent this stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
That never seems to end. So important to know that. I would say if you installed the app at that time, I mean, you know, use your fair judgment. No, well, I mean, we didn't know. So we apologize. But there was no way that we could have known. But I'd say use your fair judgment. If you installed it at that time and it hasn't been updated, like you probably want to uninstall that just to be on the safe side. And then use your judgment, whether you reinstall the current version, which they say is clear, or not, because it sucks when you download an app and you trust that an app is good and then you find out that it's not. Who knows the reason behind it? They're saying the ad network. It could be. It also could not be. And the problem is we just don't actually know the certainty around that. So use your judgment. But there you go. Kind of along those lines, you may have heard some people complaining about calendar invite spam. You've had this happen?
Oh yeah. Hello? Some chick is trying to hang out with me all the time, like daily between 3 and 4 p.m.
So she's like putting an invite into your calendar. And so how is this done? You receive some sort of an invite request from them. Do they have to have your email address in order to do this?
It comes through my Gmail spam folder, and I don't catch it, right? Because Gmail's already archived away. But then when I go in, for instance, in the morning when I have my G-Home or my smart clock tell me what the agenda is for the day, it'll be like, hang out with Nick. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, I did not put that in there.
Oh, wow, that's so lame.
It is super lame and embarrassing.
Maybe one of these days Flo will hang out with me.
Well, it says more than that, but I have children maybe listening.
Yes. So okay. Okay. All right. Well, so this is how the invite spam happens, and Google has acknowledged now that that is an issue and is working on a fix. In the meantime, you can report the invites as spam. Apparently, the default in settings is to show all invites within your calendar, even those you haven't responded to yet. So it's almost like it puts a placeholder in your calendar, and that's kind of how this works. It's like someone figured out that, if I send someone an invite, whether they accept it or not, I can get them to look at it, even if it goes in the spam folder, by putting the invite in there, because then when they open up their calendar, they'll see it. And, you know, I've seen, like, the headline is, like, get a new iPhone, blah, blah, blah. Or it's totally spammy, you know? Or it's random person trying to have a hangout with Flo. So,
A hangout with Flo.
So that's how they're getting added to calendar. Google's working on the fix. Does it only have to do with the Google Calendar app? It's only Google Calendar app, right? Because that's how the invites are synced up on the Google side.
I haven't seen any Apple users complain. Yeah. And the Google Calendar app, sometimes they offer you a free iPhone. And I'm like, wrong crowd.
Well, I mean, you can always
tell your audience if you're going to spam me. Like,
yeah. All right. So now you know. Ron, you got the email.
Yes, I do. All right. Greg writes in. I love this, Greg, by the way. He says, was just watching the original pilot of Star Trek, the episode called The Cage, and just noticed something that blew my mind. In the opening sequence, Spock uses a gesture control exactly like the contemplated Project Soli. He waves his hand in the air to advance a screen. I'm certainly not the first to notice, but in case it has never been sent to you, I thought I'd pass it along. So if anyone tries to patent a la swipe to unlock, there's prior art for technology-based gesture controls. And listen, Greg, you are absolutely right. I've long time on this show talked about how I long to live in the Star Trek future, and Gene Roddenberry and the rest of the folks at Star Trek in the 60s really, you know, from the tricorder, which is a handheld device that gave us information, to these very aggressive gestures to move things along. They really had a good vision of what things would be like in 50 years. So Star Trek's where it's at, man.
Holy cow. No, that's legit. It's directly that kind of gesture.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Move along.
Yep.
Yes. So intuitive even in the 1960s.
Clearly somebody at Google saw this episode and thought to themselves, I need to put this into real life.
And yet the screen he's pointing at is clearly a projection.
Yes.
And and additionally, at the nav controls, they had dials for numbers instead of digital reader. But they were so close.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Yes. So
exactly. Although the remastered episodes, I don't know if you've seen these, but they went through and took any special effects shots and modernized them. So they have the original episodes filmed, but all the effects are – you know, were done recently. So it's beautiful shots of the ship in space, and they switch things to look like actual, like, computers. And it's, I don't know, if you're not a purist, it's a fun way to watch Star Trek.
But does it kind of take away from the quality?
Like, no, because the overacting is still there, and the costumes are still there. Okay. It just,
The melodrama hasn't been touched at all.
Okay, good. Because it reminds me of the re-releases of Star Wars.
That's because of Jar Jar Binks. It's fine.
No, but these are done in the best possible way. They didn't add anything. Yeah. They just improved what was already there. That's the subtle difference. I completely agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was done tastefully.
So to derail this conversation for just a second, it's not like what George Lucas does where he's radically changing the structure of a scene through CG. It's like we're taking the model photography and it's kind of cleaned up, and there's probably a bit of a CG sort of layer to make it look a little prettier, but it's still largely the same model style shot that you would have had. It's not like the Enterprise is suddenly doing loop de loops and all these combat maneuvers.
Right.
Nobody burps or farts or anything like Lucas put into Star Wars. And there's no re-architecting of scenes based with CG. And no, it's just nice cutaways and things like that.
Yeah. And it blends in really well with the actual photography. It's not like Lucas did a remaster of THX-1138 where this really low-budget student sci-fi film suddenly has this over-the-top, high-speed, futuristic car chase, which doesn't look like anything else in the movie and completely takes you out of the fantasy he's created. As much as I am a purist for Star Trek and I love like how cheesy those old model photography shots were, this was handled with a lot more care and attention to keeping from distracting you when you're going through these new episodes.
That speaks volumes right there.
Yeah.
Because initially I hesitated, but all right, cool. Well, thank you for sending that along, Greg. I've learned something.
That was awesome.
All right, now it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one. Enjoy the arena.
Wow. Lots of laughing. Lots of laughing.
Okay. twit.to/AAApoll435 is where you went before you turned off this episode of All About Android because you couldn't stand our laughing anymore.
Oh,
twit.to/AAApoll435. If you went there, you found out that, let's see here, Plant Jammer was the winner. 45%.
Am I the only person who's got to do expense reports around here? What the hell?
Yeah, apparently so. Plant Jammer wins 45%. That was that
I
was
don't
your
have
flow.
A job, so I don't have to do expense reports.
Good work, Flo. Good work. Second place, Material Islands at 34%, and third place, Expenses at 20%.
So with that, thanks to Wade County in the chat room, through 34 weeks of the arena, I'm still in last place at 68 points. Jason is pulling ahead for me with 73 points. The guests who have been not earning points without actually being on the show, so it's good that Juan is back to get the guests back in the game.
Oh,
man.
A lot of pressure.
They've got 95 points, and Flo is in first place with 107 points. So that means I go first, Jason?
That means that – oh, sorry. I got in the wrong order here. Yeah, my apologies. Okay. Yes, Ron, so, you go first.
Yeah, so listen, I know you didn't like expense reports. I know you didn't like the app that I did before that, but a lot of you watching probably use Snapchat, or you probably use Instagram for stories or Facebook for stories. And if you want to level up your stories game – and Flo, I know you do – you're going to want to check out this app called Unfold. All right. So basically what Unfold is it's a stories optimized template system that enables you to make professional looking, awesome looking Instagram stories. In fact, actually, Jason, before we even show the app, I don't know, Victor, if you can go to my Instagram, or you got to be logged in. Jason, you're not on Instagram, are you? I did a sample one to give you a sense of what we're going to do. And I realize now you can't see stories unless you log into Instagram on the web, and you're not on Instagram, are you, Jason?
No, not really.
Well, anyway, if you go to Instagram.com/RonXO in the next 24 hours, you can see one that I designed. But let's go back to the app, and I will tell you how it works and how everything does. So basically, you got this blank canvas. If you hit the plus sign in the action button, what you can then do is you can create a story, you know, kind of a collection of stories. So you can just say, yeah, that kind of thing. And this is just a container to hold the story slides. Hit the plus sign again. And then here you can choose your template, right? It comes with a classic series of templates. And those gray boxes are where photos can go. And what it allows you to do is it allows you to combine photos with text and color and all this sort of stuff to make kind of more professional looking ones. And then there's a whole library of other frames that use different layouts. Some use like photo kind of negative containers, or like Polaroid containers, or this one that I love with kind of the ripped paper look kind of thing. And so, yes, in order to get these are either in-app purchases or through their monthly program, you know, but you can use it totally for free if you want to. Just go back to the first one, to the classic one. Here you go, and let's pick that one in the lower right hand corner with the two in the white. There you go, right there. So now you get this, and you can tap a gray box, and you can add a photo. You give it access to your photo, and you can just post anything. There you go. Your AR guy. There you go, and hit done. And what it'll do is it'll put them in the two little spots, and then now if you hit the draw button, You can put in a text box, or you can put in stickers, or you can put in some sort of thing like that that allows you now to. And so you double tap that. Actually, use the rare double tap and just type in text. You can say all about it. It's gonna overwrite the test stuff. Yeah, so you can do that. Now, if you type something there and then hit the edit text button, double tap on eyes again. There you go, and hit edit text.
Edit text.
See above your keyboard.
Yep.
So now you can change the font. There's a bunch of different fonts, and you can change the size and all this other stuff. So if you want your Instagram stories to stand out and look different than other people's Instagram stories, this is the way to do it, basically. This is the most powerful app I've seen yet that does this sort of stuff. You can do really, really interesting interesting stuff. So here, that's a great example there. If you including the frames and the fonts, here you go. If you upgrade the app, and they have a monthly or yearly option there. You can unlock even more stuff, which is pretty cool. So it all depends if you want to pay for it. If you need to, what does it say? The 7-day free trial is how much?
7-day free trial, then $19.99 per year or $2.99 per month.
Yeah. So, you know, not, you know, support your devs. They made a great app. And there's a lot and lot of templates and fonts and things like that that it does unlock to help you make really creative Instagram stories or Snapchat stories or Facebook stories. A lot of people, if you need this for work for whatever reason, if you work in social media or anything like that, this is a great way to be able to get more than one photo into a story. And yeah. And so there it is. Unfold, create stories. Uncle Bick in the chat room, it was the one that I did at the Mets stadium that says, "Let's go Mets." I did that on my Instagram. Actually, let me see if I can send that to you. But yeah, so there it is. Unfold, free in the Google Play Store. And it is in-app purchase to unlock cool stuff. And here, Jason, are you in WhatsApp?
Well, on my phone I am. But I don't know that I have Instagram installed on my phone.
No, you don't. I'll send you the screenshot.
You can view it through the web version, Victor, if you want to go to Instagram.com/Ron.
You got to log in. That's the problem. He doesn't log into Instagram from that machine. Here you go, Jason. I just Slacked you the slide.
Now I'm Slack. Oh, I see.
So, Slack. Sorry, WhatsApp. I WhatsApped you. Okay. Too many messaging apps.
I know, far too many. Okay, let me pull this up. Okay. There we go.
There you go. So that I did that real quickly, and you can see I used the rip paper template. I put my photo. I changed the font there. Like, looks pretty cool. You see that in Instagram stories. You're like, that person is creative and professional, and it ups your social media.
So I want to get to know that person more. I'm going to send that person a calendar spam to hang out.
That person, yeah. So there you go. So it's called Unfold. Check it out if you're a power user. Of Instagram, this is a way to up your game. I'm surprised Flo doesn't use it, to be honest with you.
Rad. All right, good app that's called Unfold. That's in the Play Store for free. Free trial. Okay, my app. So I was talking a little bit earlier about the Note 10 Plus. You may remember from the announcement that they showed off a feature on stage where they did like a 3D scan of an object, and then they were able to animate it and everything. Well, that didn't come pre-installed. That app did not come pre-installed on my Note. I actually had to download it. It's made by Samsung. It's called 3D Scanner by Samsung, and it released not too long ago. You can't get it through the Play Store, of course. You can only get it through the the Galaxy Store. So I realize I'm limiting things. But I wanted to show off the app to kind of try and demonstrate just how easy it is to make a 3D scan. So we're going to go ahead and jump in here. And it might be kind of hard to show this off because we have the fixed camera, but I'm going to go ahead and try and scan this bad boy, this bug droid. So I've got it in the box. It says ready to scan. I'll go ahead and hit that, and I get the view. Now what I have to do is kind of rotate around the object, which this is where it's going to probably fall outside of the view, and I apologize, but I'll bring it back in and I'll just kind of talk through it. You're supposed to rotate around the object entirely or as much as you can. You don't have to go entirely around to the back, but I'm going to go to the side. Okay. All right. All right, so now I've done a little bit of a scan. I probably could have done more, and maybe it would be better, but you can kind of see a little bit of an outline. I'm going to go ahead and hit this stop, making the model, all done. And hey, what do you know? Okay, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and say I did this about...
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I did this about a dozen times in the office, and all I ever got were like what looks like pate, like meat pate, things like this. yeah.
I don't even like pate.
I don't know what the difference is between here and there. I mean, it's well lit in my office. It's well lit in here. So that's just to say that I'm really happy to actually see something that looks somewhat like the object that I wanted to scan. It's not perfect. I bet if I had spent a little more time kind of scanning around, I could kind of fill in the gaps and everything. And of course, on the back, it's just making guesses because I didn't actually scan back there. But I'm really happy to see that it actually scans something. So I'm going to go ahead and save that. And then if I had someone standing here, I could sync this up to video. I wonder if it would do it with me in the shot. No. Hi? No? Okay. I could, every once in a while, I could get the pate to dance in the office.
The pate.
Yes.
I don't know if I like dancing pate.
Yeah, I didn't either. It was definitely definitely not what I was hoping for. But anyways, there you go. It's called 3D Scanner by Samsung. It's pretty straightforward, pretty kind of limited, but you can scan objects into 3D kind of interactive things. And if I did this properly and I had someone kind of standing in front of me, I could sync it up so that I could have the object dance around when that person is dancing. It's like it syncs up their actions to mine. Kind of neat technology. Definitely something that kind of shows off the capabilities of the Note 10. Like the Note 10 has a lot of processing power, has a lot of memory and everything like that. Something like this requires a lot, demands a lot. So it's nice to put the hardware to use as it is. So 3D Scanner by Samsung. You can only get this in Galaxy Store. I don't know if you'll ever see this in the Play Store because that's just how Samsung rolls. But look for it there if you have the Note 10 or the Note 10. Actually, it might only be the Note 10 Plus, but might work for the Note 10 as well.
I'm mad I didn't try that when I was borrowing the Note 10 because Sony had a similar sort of, you could do like a 3D modeling on the Xperia 1, XZ1.
I remember that, yes. I tried that out.
And I should have done a showdown, like... Have we really gotten any better at this since
totally
over 2 years?
Well, I will just say that I tried, like I said, in the office a dozen times on this. And then I was like, well, maybe that's too complicated. So I did, you know, a screensaver mug. I was like, a mug's pretty simple.
just circles.
No matter what I did, I got here. I'll see if it actually shows it because it's way better to see the pate in an interactive environment. I got like... these things, whoa, which just kind of look wrong to a certain degree. It kind of looks like... It just kind of looks gross, even though it's like that's a cardboard box.
Jason out here trying to build a better poop emoji.
Yes. And, like this. And it was like, okay, well, that didn't work. It's just a bunch of weird little pates. This was the closest I could get. And you could kind of see the... So it was obviously, it was just melting... the table into the object, into the wall, and it just didn't know how to differentiate. But anyway, so I'm really happy that it worked here for you guys, where it mattered.
Phew.
All right.
Cool.
Juan, you are... There it is, rotating pate.
Oh,
delicious.
That's so unsettling.
It is.
I don't know if I can follow that, guys.
Is that like a belly button down at the bottom?
Oh, God.
Kind of is. No, go away, rotating pate.
Oh, zooming in is
stop rotating pate.
Oh, I don't think it could get worse, and then it does.
I wonder. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, with a lazy Susan. Are we going to try round two?
Sure, but real quick because we're already very long. Okay, I'm going to see if maybe this works. Ooh, this might work. Okay, so rotate. I wonder if it's even going to work. It looks like it's disintegrating into nothingness.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. It's the location of the device in the air is here. Let's see what it comes up with, though. I'm really curious. All done. Oh, wow. Perfect. Isn't that beautiful?
I can't wait to send that to my 3D
printer. Retainer.
Yeah, it's a retainer. It's a bone of some sort. It's a ligament. Okay. We're done. Thank you, Bert. All right, Juan, what is yours?
All right. I am continuing on a track record of bringing games to the app arena. I think I did pretty well with the last time I was on the show. But it is up to me to fix a glaring oversight that has gone on for far too long.
Yes.
So my app is actually an older game. But this is a game series which has never been featured on All About Android,
which is weird.
And that's criminal.
Sometimes it happens.
And it's up to me to fix it. You know, be the change you want to see in the world, because we're going to talk about Riptide GP Renegade.
Oh yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. So I am on a crusade against Android games that have a ton of, you know, really predatory microtransactions and gacha mechanics and random number generating player progression. And Vector Unit is the developer on this game. And this is a phenomenal racing series. And this was the last entry into this racing series. Just to give you the sort of trailer rundown from the game's description. Experience the future of illicit hydrojet racing, where armored riders kick out death-defying stunts over massive waterfalls, dodge cops through public waterways, and boost at breakneck speeds across surging waves. You are a hydrojet rider, framed and cast out from the Riptide GP League, forced to race illegally through city waterways, flooded ruins, and churning factory machinery in an effort to reclaim your reputation and title. So it's just one of the best all-time racers. And where I haven't liked a lot of mobile game racing series, they've gone to that really heavy grind, lots of cooldown clocks. You have to pay to kind of speed up your upgrades and your improvements. Riptide avoided all of that. So when you bought the game, it was a $3 app, and you just got to play the game, and you would upgrade your jet ski, and you'd get new features, and you'd improve, like, you know, how the handling worked or how the boost worked. One of the reasons why I'm picking it and going back is because it's currently on sale for free. So it's the full unlocked app, I think, through tomorrow, if you're watching this live, or if you're catching this, you know, sort of the day of the release. I think it's through tomorrow. You can get this awesome Android racer, phenomenal graphics, fully rendered 3D. I think it's Unity Engine. Beautiful. And you get 8-player online races. And I think you can do 4-player local races. And I love, like, Mario Kart style, I love games that give you some type of local co-op or local competitive racing. Lots of replayability, lots of upgrades. I've burned countless phone batteries grinding through Riptide. And like I said, not like $3 is a lot to spend for a great game. If you move on it now, you'll get it for free. And this would absolutely be in every Android enthusiast's catalog of apps.
Absolutely. And it's actually a really great game to also, again, show off the power of the high kind of processor, high spec devices. Now,
if only we had, like, I don't know, when some phone with like a 90 hertz refresh rate display, and we could really... Is that too snarky? Was that a bit too far?
I mean, you know, the note should have had it. I don't know why it doesn't. I can't stop playing, you guys. I can't stop playing.
It's so fun. I mean, the tricks mechanic is awesome. How you fill your boost. You hit a ramp and you've got to do a flip or a jump or a spin. Those get really intricate. There is limited support for gamepad. If you want to play on a dual stick, you can play on a dual stick. It's just good enough. You could probably make the case for throwing an HDMI adapter and plugging it into a TV. It's just really, it's one of the best all-time series of games for mobile, and it's one that I consistently point to when people rightfully talk about how garbage mobile gaming can be. You got to dig, but there are some great titles out there that aren't just about, you know, milking you for as much money as they can.
Yeah, totally love it. Great game. I test almost every device by playing this at least a few times just to, like, see how it does with the water effects and all that.
Real pretty.
You see, and the videos of that testing could go on the Instagram account of Jason Tests Phones.
You're right. You're trying to get me on Instagram, aren't you?
I am.
All right. Well, maybe I will.
So you can see my stories.
I really should get on Instagram. I keep putting it off. I need to make it happen. I'm very late to that game, though. I used to have an Instagram. It was tied to my Facebook. And then when I deleted Facebook, it got rid of my Instagram. And I didn't realize that was going to happen. And then it did. And then I was like, okay, moving on. So that game is Riptide GP Renegade. Find it.
Renegade.
All right, Flo, Renegade. I got your app installed. And I have to say, it's a lot of fun. It's really cool.
Oh, I'm glad you found it fun. Yes. By the way, Rush Hour Renegades was the name of the radio show on Full House. Just a little tidbit for you there.
Interesting.
Came to my head. So I brought also kind of like an experiment app to the arena today. It's called Canny. And kind of the subtitle or the subhead of it is OpenCV Camera and Live Filter Effects. Now, for those wondering what an OpenCV is, it's open source computer vision It's a library of programming functions mainly aimed at real-time computer vision. Originally developed by Intel, a lot of this is now kind of the background or the backbone of what we all know as TensorFlow. So when TensorFlow, Google's TensorFlow, is learning things, and the machine is going in and learning and processing and looking at visuals, it actually uses some of this as the backend. And so this is kind of a cool way to experience how this works in real time. And you also get kind of a cool like photo filter app out of it. So Canny was developed. It's just like a small, humble app. It's got live camera filters, live effects. A lot of them are, again, you could see Jason here. Those who are watching on the stream can see Jason do the live demos. Sometimes they're very cool. Like, for instance, Jason's showing off like a color, a different color spectrum, and it looks very cool with the Android in the foreground. It's making it look a little green. But there's no like absolute congruency to this app, the way that you use it. You kind of just go through and push buttons until you get the desired effect. And Jason, if you'd like to add a border to these multi photo pictures, you can hit that little B button on the screen. It's kind of up in the right. There you go. Then you can get yourself a little border if you want to maybe do something a little more. Yeah. So these are all OpenCV image processing. It doesn't do video, unfortunately. It only does still images. You can upload images from that are locally stored on your phone and do editing that way, or you can snap a photo in real time. So some of the methods that are used, I'm going to go ahead and read a bunch of terminology, which may make sense to some folks. So we've got like canny edge detection, hence where canny comes from, contour, hull, threshold. If you've ever used Photoshop throughout the generations, you know some of this terminology. The gray effect, poster effect, we've got segmentation, feature detection. It's kind of eerie when you use it on a human, because it's like, oh, that's, I guess, how the computer is processing my face. So the computer vision, the applications that these are used on are augmented reality, autonomous vehicles. You could see how LiDAR works, basically. Character recognition, face recognition, geoscience, robotics, 3D models. I mean, this is basically just a way to see how this technology is used by other industries. And you get a cool filter app out of it. And if you spend a little bit of time, I mean,
that's neat.
Creepy, but it's cool. It's an open source computer vision software. It's just a cool thing that I found in the Play Store.
That's neat. Cool. I love it. It's very, very unique.
Yeah, it's just, I was, as you can see, if you go back to the Play Store, Victor, the images really got me. I was like, what is this? Because I've been into like ASMR images lately. Like, that's how I fall asleep now at night, because that's my life now. So I thought this was like, oh, is this ASMR in a nap? No, this just shows how processes that you can do. But this is, you know, it's just something to play with if you're interested. It's free.
Oh, that's
apparently you can pay the developer. It contains ads, but I haven't had a problem. And it's well rated. People give this a 4.7. So
yeah, it's
people
cool.
People are using it.
I like the just tap a bunch of things and see what you come up with approach of this.
I mean,
the effects are cool.
If you're bored, why the heck not?
Why the heck not play with the app called Canny? All right, so go to twit.to/AAApoll 436 to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Unfold, 3D Scanner by Samsung, Riptide GP Renegade, or Canny? That's twit.to/AAApoll 436. And your vote.
Jason, the results show, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? I left them on. I figured it's fun to have them on for the show.
True.
and then I'll lock them.
Just turn them off. Yeah, turn them off. What is Victor going to choose?
Yeah, Victor, what are you going to choose? Oh,
man, someone needs to go back and look source. To see how many of Victor's votes have gone to Flo versus the rest of us.
Flo
brings the cool apps, man.
All right. Ooh. We'll see. I don't know. I think there's a little bias there. I'm just saying.
Oh, but Riptide GP is.
Yeah, Riptide is. Yeah.
As of right now, well, they've
redesigned.
That's
bringing people to some N64 feels right there. That's what.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Redesigned. Look at that crazy GIF at the top of it.
I know. It's like it was shot with
it's like bees. It's like bees making a thumbs up.
Yes.
The bees that are still alive today. Yes. That we haven't killed off.
Us honeycombs that we can eat.
That's very weird.
All right, cool. We have gone far too long on this episode, but that's just because there's been so much awesome to talk about.
Let's talk about that big phone.
I know. Yeah, I apologize. Yeah, I went far too long with my review, maybe.
The big phone.
Hey, but we got to see that dual screen LG 50, so like, it was all worth it as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Juan, it's always a pleasure getting you on, man. Juan Bagnell, somegadgetguy.com with the cool LG dual screen thing that you can't get in the U.S., so there.
Can't get it. I'm very exclusive like that. I'm pretty fancy.
What do you want people to know about? What are you working on?
At some
point you were wearing a special pair of glasses and we didn't have time to talk about it, but Focals by North. Yeah, Focals by North. Are you going to be doing a review of these at some point?
Yes. It's not going to be out next week. I'm going to try and shoot for the week following. I am the most excited I think I've ever been about an accessory for our phones by these glasses.
Wow, and, that's a bold statement.
You know, it's everything that I thought we would have been doing after Google Glass, and then it seemed like the market just ran away from how much of a catastrophe Google Glass was, and North is doing something really great trying to bring back this heads-up display idea, and it's doubly exciting to talk about now because it just got a massive update where they've incorporated all of the Android notification actions. So you can do voice to text reply from a display that's right at eye level. I traveled with them over the weekend, and so many times where I normally would have pulled out a phone or would have tried to do sort of an extended interaction on my watch was two clicks on this little ring that you wear on your finger. Something popped up on my screen. A text was sent. A mapping data was looked up. Sports scores were looked at. Weather was reported on. And it's so brief and it's so organic. So I'm going to be very excited to share some thoughts with this. So that's going to be coming out. I'm going to be spending some more time with the V50 and kind of war driving for some more Sprint 5G to see what that's all about. Just a lot of fun gadgets coming to the channel and to the site. And then I'm going to be doing sort of in keeping with my app for the App Arena, I'm going to be doing a limited run series on Android games for Newegg. So the Game Crate website is all about gaming news. And the general consensus is that mobile gaming is terrible and awful and not worth it, but I want to find a few examples of games that aren't terrible for you to play on your phone. So that's going to be sort of I think it's going to be a four blog post series that's going to be going up on Game Crate.
Nice. Yeah. There are a lot of good mobile games out there. You kind of have to look for them.
You got to dig. When you find them, there are some gems. Yeah. You want to highlight them. You want to shake people and celebrate them. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, I will shake you and celebrate you, Juan, because we appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, do it gently, Jason. Don't do it too. Don't shake
Thank you.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. It's always great getting you on. I'm happy I could be on with you as well this time.
I'm happy it finally happened. It took a while.
Finally.
Well, thank you, man. Also, thank you, Ron. For surviving the heat, it looks like it's maybe a little.
It's actually not. It's not too bad, actually. Okay. It's cooled down nicely. It's like mid to low 80s. We're starting to get back to normal. It's nice.
Cool.
But hey, everybody, follow me on Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram, where you can see my stories at RonXO. But big news for you podcast listeners: myself and my lovely co-host Carrie came out with a new episode of Finale today. Just when weren't looking.
Yay!
Nice.
After several months summer break, as I called it. We talked about the series finale of Seinfeld in this latest episode. So a classic series finale. So tune in, and now that we've got the babies sleeping like normal people. We're going to see if we can get more episodes out more often. So stay tuned. Subscribe to Finale Podcast and all your favorite podcast listening platforms.
Now, had she not seen any of Seinfeld?
She had. Okay. She hadn't seen it since 1998, though.
Okay, all
so
right.
So we figured 21 years was enough of a time period.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's crazy.
It's a good finale. I liked it. I know it was people either loved or hated the finale of Seinfeld.
That's what we talked about. Well, yeah. That often happens, and it's the kind of thing. It was outrage when it first came out, and if you look back on it, it actually works in many ways. It also doesn't work in other ways, in that it was extremely long in the tooth.
Yeah,
it was. I forgot that it was an hour and 15 minutes when it originally aired.
Oh boy, yeah.
Like there's a whole middle section of that episode that they did. There's a term in entertainment where you got to kill your babies.
Yeah.
Where you gotta cut things out. They could have listened to that.
They really didn't want to let go of that last episode. No. They were like, we're gonna squeeze this for all it's worth.
Yeah. No.
All right, so check that out, Flo. What about you? What you got?
I'm still riding on the high of Manitou&O weekend.
Of the peach,
which was amazing.
It looked pretty amazing.
It was so amazing, Ron. It was so amazing. I had a migraine the next day. That's how much fun I had. God, I know. But in the interim, I'm actually kind of hunkering down and working on. I'm buttoning down the hatches and working on some things here.
Buttoning up the hatches.
Whatever. And you'll expect to see something new from me, hopefully, in the next few months. Until then, I have some essays I've pitched that are coming out soon. I will tell you all about them here. You can always go to my website, florenceion.com, which I do update, but I took the weekend off, so I haven't updated yet. I will post about my 9-2-1-0 weekend this week because I have lots to say about it, maybe. Possibly. Or really, I just have pictures of all the cast members I got to see, which... Again, still riding on the high of that. If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I'm Oh That Flo. I'm also on Twitch, hoping to come back to streaming this month. And I'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good. We will see you next week.
I will see you next week.
And you, Ron, and you, Victor, thank you. Appreciate
yep.
everything
we'll
you
see
do.
See you next week.
All right, good. I'm happy you'll be back for one more week. And then one more week, and then another one more week.
And hopefully I'll see Juan soon, too.
Yes, we're gonna field trip while you're out here. I promise I will get back to your Twitter DM that I haven't replied to.
Okay.
Someday.
Thank you for letting me come after you on the show.
Well, and I was gonna say, I mean, not that you would have to have me on, but if you're gonna be out here during one of these broadcasts, if you want to do it from the lab, I mean, we've got good lighting and stuff. I'll make you look good.
Next time in LA, I want to do that. We didn't get to do that last time we almost did it. Yeah,
I had cookies. I had cookies. Ready
I know. I'm still cursing the missing cookies.
You let him down, Ron. He had cookies. Were they Oreos?
No.
Okay. Okay. Because that could have gone the other direction.
Fancy. They were chocolate chip from a tube, but I still thought it would have been fun. So.
All right. Well, that is it for this week. You can find me on Twitter.
I was about to say, what about you, Jason?
I'm here. I'm doing shows week in and week out at Twit. Next week, I'm doing This Week in Google, by the way. So put that on your calendar. That is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. We have the Arena apps list at twit.to/Android apps. There you can find all the apps that we've featured in the Arena. And we appreciate the folks who keep that up to date. Thank you. Show notes and past episodes are found at the only really super duper important place. If you want to find out everything about this show, just go to twit.tv/AAA. There you're going to find all the details. The fact that we record every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. The audio links, the video links, you know, all the subscribe, YouTube links, everything is there. twit.tv/AAA. And no more. We are done. This show went too long. So thank you for watching. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Waving incessantly.